God is so good. Thankful to be here this evening. Looking forward to seeing what God's going to do here in the services tonight. Whatever it is, I know it's going to be awesome. We serve a great God. I look forward to seeing what He has for us in His Word tonight. I also look forward to singing songs and praising Him tonight. Praising Him the way He deserves, because we have an awesome God. Before we get started, I'm going to ask my dad if he'd lift his voice and ask the Lord to bless the service tonight.
Father God, as we come to you this evening, Lord God, what a joy it is to be back in your house. I ask, Father God, each one here, I believe, is here by divine appointment. I don't think anyone that's with us this evening, sitting under the sound preaching, is here by accident. So I pray, Father God, that as we lift up our voices to you and we raise our eyes to you as we sing, Father God, I pray that it would be a blessing unto you. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be allowed free movement in here this evening. Lord, speak to our hearts. Teach us, fill us, and be with Pastor. Lord, work through him, hide him behind the desk. And Lord God, have him not say anything that you would not have him to say, but Lord, to preach the full counsel of God. So we're going to give you praise. Well, thank you, Lord, for what you'll do here this evening. For us, in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen.
All right, I invite you to stand with me, if you're able. Turn to page 314. Page 314, I am thine, O Lord. Page number
5. Your Bibles this evening. Let's see here. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23. I'm sorry, y'all sat down, but if you could, for the reading of God's Word, could you please stand again for the reading of God's Word? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. We've been looking at these verses here for a number of weeks. This week we're going to finish up here, the last part here that I kind of want to look at in the body, and then next week, Lord willing, to get into the soul and spirit. Now, a lot of these things, especially when we get into next week, there's a lot of things that are very intertwined and connected. So when you look at the body and then the soul and the spirit, man is a triune, made up of a triune nature, a body, soul, and spirit, just like God's three in one and one in three, so is man. But tonight we're going to finish up here looking at the body. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely sanctified by God." And the Bible says, "And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this day, dear God. Thank you for the sunshine, Lord. Thank you for the food we had to eat today, Lord. For the clothes we have to wear, Lord. Thank you for the ability to get to church tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd help us now. Lord, I pray you clear my thoughts and my mind, dear God. And Lord, just give wisdom, give direction, give guidance, give understanding, Lord, that we draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. And Lord, we ask for your help now this evening. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The Bible says here, talking about, "And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. I don't know how soon or how long, but I do know the Bible shows that Jesus Christ is going to come back and take his church home. But the Bible says here in chapter 5, verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you, set you apart wholly." And then Paul goes on to say, "And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, I don't want to appear before the Lord Jesus Christ someday and there be some blame or censure for the way I conducted myself in my body, soul, and spirit. You see, we still have our bodies to deal with. We still have our flesh to deal with. And the Bible, I believe, shows that there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit to do those things that are right or to do those things that are not right. But the last thing that I want to look at this evening concerning the body, we know that the body has five senses: sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell. And our body is what touches and has contact with this world that we're living in. Our body has contact with this world through our taste, through our touch, through our sight, through our smell, and through sound. And tonight I want to finish up looking at taste, taste tonight. Last week we looked at taste. Tonight I want to look at smell. Forgive me this evening. My mind is in different places tonight. So please pray for me this evening. But look at the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. Okay, before I go on further and forget, for the men that weren't here in church this morning, there will be a men's meeting next Sunday with Mr. Jim Bush. So next Sunday morning, there will be a men's meeting after the morning service. And what we were discussing this morning was also the purchase of some audio or video equipment for our live stream. So that was what was discussed this morning. Sometimes I might not say what was discussed, sometimes I might, but that's what we were talking about this morning, is about trying to purchase some more equipment for the live streaming. So moving on here now into touch and smell. With smell, okay, we might not think much of smell, what we smell with our nose and with our mouth. You know, air goes in through both our nose and mouth, and we smell things. And smell can have an effect on us. The word smell means to have a sensation excited in certain organs of the nose by particular qualities of a body, which are transmitted in fine particles, often from a distance, or form a distance, as the smell of a rose, to smell perfumes. And there are some things that we can smell that aren't very pleasant. But the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I want you to look at verse number, let's pray again. Heavenly Father, I pray for your help this evening. Lord, I pray you'd help my mind. Pray you'd help my mind, dear God. And Lord, help us tonight to get what you'd have us to have out of your word. I pray you clear these things coming in my mind, Lord, and just give clarity, I pray, Father, for your glory and your honor. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sorry, look at Proverbs chapter 7. I was going back to taste. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 10. Look at verse number 1. Proverbs 7, verse number 10. Now this is talking about the woman who's come out there to seduce that young man who's walking by her corner. Okay, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you. But look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 10. Okay, and it says, "Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently, to seek thy face, and I have found thee." Look what she says next here in these following verses. "I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt." And then she says in verse 17, "I have perfumed my bed with myrrhs, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves." She goes on to try to seduce this young man. And one of the ways she tries to seduce him is by how she perfumes her bed. She puts on perfume. She puts the perfume on her bed. So if he's drawn in there, his nose begins to follow. His nose begins to smell those sweet smells. And hopefully, she's hoping that this is one of the ways to try to allure him into the bedroom. And this is a way of a strange woman. So smells have an effect, and this woman knows that. You see, thank the Lord. I'm thankful tonight that God has given us a sense of smell, and that we can enjoy it. Imagine going through life and not being able to smell anything. That would be very difficult. We often, I think, take advantage, or not the advantage, but take for granted the very things that God's given us that are small things. And the one small thing is taste. I knew a man that had cancer in his throat and in his mouth, and he lost his sense of taste. And it says that that man told my good friend, it was his dad, he said it almost drove him mad because he couldn't taste food no more. But can you imagine going through life to where you cannot smell anything no more? There's nothing better smell, and some might disagree with me, but a steak grilling outside in the summertime, there's nothing like the smell of a good steak. Now, some people might not like this either, but you know one restaurant I like driving by sometimes is Burger King. It just comes up through the chimney there, and they're cooking those burgers, flame broiled, and sometimes you just drive by like there's got to be a Burger King nearby because it smells wonderful. There's nothing better to stop and smell flowers. God created flowers, and you pick up a flower and you smell it, and the sense that it gives you, it enlightens you, it helps you, it encourages you. Smells can help us, but smells can also be quite bad. Very bad. So bad so that in some occupations with some men and women, they have to sometimes use Vicks vapor rub and put it on below their nose so that they don't smell the stench of death. When I went down to Mobile, Alabama and Gulfport, Mississippi after Katrina went through in 2010, it wiped out those Gulf Coast cities. And I went down there to help out at their airport and within the community. And they had set up the FEMA camp, I've said this before, on the opposite side of the airfield. And it got so bad by the bodies that they were bringing in because FEMA was trying to process them to figure out who they were because they had found them in houses that had been destroyed. And that stench of death was so bad that when I went over there one time to help and go through their what they were doing over there, you had to put Vicks Vapor Rub underneath your nose because the stench of death was so bad. So there's good smells, but then there's also smells that are so bad that you cover your face or you put something over your nose so that you don't smell it. You see, our lives give off a smell, brethren. Our lives, the way we conduct ourselves, I'm not talking about a physical smell this evening. I'm talking about a spiritual smell, a smell that comes off of us that you might not even have to say anything. It's exuded by the way you smell. Take your Bible this morning or this evening and look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 9. Proverbs 27 and look at verse number 9. Look what the Bible says here. Proverbs 27 and verse number 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. Ointment, something you might put on that's a cream. An ointment can rejoice the heart, and perfume, something that you might spray on you, can also rejoice the heart. Look what it says next though, what it's likened to. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. The sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. It's like ointment and perfume which rejoice the heart. Now take your Bible and look at Psalms chapter 133. Psalm 133. Take your Bible, flip over there for a moment. Psalm 133. And look at verse number 1. Psalm 133, verse number 1. The Bible says here, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious, look at this, precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment." You see, Aaron and the priesthood, and also, and we're going to look at it in a little bit, not only Aaron and the priesthood were anointed with a holy anointing oil, so was every vessel and everything that was used within that tabernacle or that temple was anointed with a holy oil for consecration and separation. And the Bible says here, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." When there's strife, when there's fighting, when there's division, Even within among a church, you have this brother against this brother, then this sister, and this sister, I don't like him, and they don't like me, and blah, blah, blah. That is causes division, and in God's sight, that brings up a stench into his nostrils. But when brethren can dwell together in unity, it is a precious smell, I believe, to God Almighty, when we can dwell together in unity. It's a precious ointment, a very precious ointment. You see, there are ointments that are precious to God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. This is one of the most precious, precious stories in all the Bible. Look at John chapter 12, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. John 12, verse 1. Look what the Bible says here. Looking at smell this evening, smells. How do we smell before the Lord this evening? John chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. We find Martha in each instances with Jesus, as we're shown in the scriptures, that she's about much service. She does much service, but it seems like Martha always misses the mark of what really counts when she's around Jesus Christ. Look what the Bible says in verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary comes in, and Mary, from what I believe the Bible shows, I don't know if anybody knows somebody different, please tell me after the service, but I believe Mary was the only one that the Bible shows that had insight of what was about to occur with the Lord Jesus Christ. She came to anoint him for his burial. She heard, look, how did Mary get this insight? She sat at the feet of Jesus and she listened. She sat at the feet of Jesus and she listened to what Jesus said the whole time her sister Martha's busy serving and coming about with much service. She's in the presence of Jesus, but she's not getting what Jesus wants her to have because she's too busy doing her own thing. She's doing what she thinks Jesus wants done, but Mary's doing that thing that was right and needful. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and she listened to Jesus. And the Bible says here, right before he's going in to be crucified, right before the Passover, the Bible says in verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. It cost her something. You see, brethren, it's going to cost you something to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to cost you something. And Mary went out and spent her money. I don't know how she got it, but the Bible says it was very costly. Mary got it, and Mary didn't consume it upon her own lusts. This thing was worth some money. And you know who causes a problem in this meeting here with Jesus Christ? Judas. Judas was a thief. Judas said this could be used for great things. Oh, you liar. You're a liar. You're a thief. Judas said this could have been given to the poor. Judas didn't care about no poor. He's just wanting to condemn Mary because Mary's wanting to love Jesus with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'm here to tell you, brethren, this evening, don't you get on somebody who wants to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't be a Judas. Don't be a Judas. Don't get a grumpy look and a frown look when someone starts praising God and lifting their hands and praising God. You're a Judas. You're a Judas. And you know what also Mary did, which a lot of Christians today wouldn't do, that she got down on her knees. She got down on her knees at Jesus' feet, and she took the glory. You know what the glory of women is? Long hair. She couldn't have done this with short hair. She took the glory, because the Bible says in Corinthians, I believe chapter 7, that the glory of a woman is her hair. And she knelt down and she took this ointment and she spread it at Jesus' feet. And she took her hair and she wiped, look, complete submission to the Savior, humility, brokenness, contrition to the one that was getting ready to go to that cross to die for her sins, the precious Lamb of God. And she recognized him as thus. God God help us today. We take the Lord Jesus Christ so lightly. Well, he's just Jesus. No, he's not just Jesus. He is the Lamb of God. He is the precious Son of God who came to this world 2,000 years ago for your wickedness and my wickedness, for your wretchedness and for my wretchedness, for your uncleanliness and iniquity and sin and vileness and your stench as a sinner coming up into the nostrils of God. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Outside of Jesus Christ, you stink in the nostrils of God. But God loved you enough to send Jesus Christ, the precious Lamb of God, to go to that cross and hang there in open shame for you and for me in order to take away your sins and my sins that we might have eternal life through him forever. Brethren, sometimes I think we get concerned with trifle matters and we're not concerned with the things that really do matter. Brethren, I'm concerned. I'm concerned with our society today. I'm concerned with Christianity today. I'm concerned with believers today because they care about everything else but the things that do matter. This precious woman, this is one that I love, Mary. She's one of the women I want to meet when I get home to heaven someday. Along with her, with Abigail. Because both of these women show humility, show contrition, show brokenness, and they submit themselves to those that are in a position of authority. Abigail intercedes for her husband, who the Bible says is churlish. He's a man, the Bible says, you can't even talk to him because he's so stubborn. How many people today are so stubborn you can't even talk to them? And Abigail loved her husband so much, she knew David was getting ready to come in there and take him out because of his churlishness, because of his stubbornness, because of the hardness of his heart. And she tried to intercede for her husband, and she brought all these foods and these cakes and these raisins to David. And the Bible says she lighted off that ass and she fell before David and she said, his sin be upon me. Here you have Mary. Mary coming into the house with a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of ointment. Can you imagine what that house smelled like? How wonderful it is, her worship before the Lord Jesus Christ, and it just filled the house. You see, if more of us had hearts like Mary, when we came in here and we'd sing these songs to the Lord Jesus Christ, it would fill this house with a sweet ointment that would just waft up into heaven to the nostrils of God and be pleasing in his sight. But I'm afraid, my friend, that hasn't happened more often much. How many of us, when we pick up the hymn book, we just go through the words? And we rather sound good than make it go up to heaven into the nostrils of Jesus Christ. God help us this evening. God help us this evening to get back to the things that matter according to the Word of God. You see, a little folly in our life will cause a stench before the Lord. Take your Bible, look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 10 and verse number 1. A little folly. You see, it's the little things. It's the little things that will bring defilement. It's the little things that we let creep in that will defile what we're offering up to God. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and look at verse number 1. It's the little things, brethren. It's the little things. And how many of us minor or major on the minor and minor on the major? How many today major on minor things, but yet major things are minor? Jesus said, you tithe, and I'm not going to quote, it's going to be paraphrased. You tithe the mint and cumin and anise, but you put aside the weightier matters of judgment and mercy. You're more concerned about this rather than the things that really do matter. Look what the Bible says here, Ecclesiastes 10 verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth what? A stinking savor. Dead flies get into the ointment of the apothecary and it makes it stink. It's a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. You see, a man that's in reputation for wisdom and honor, if this man that's got wisdom and honor, if he allows a little folly into his life, it'll stink. Because he ought not to allow that to come into his life. You see, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. You say, preacher, what is the word folly? He says, doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Folly means this evening, brethren. A state of being foolish. A want or a lack of understanding. We've been talking about this for the last couple preaching messages and Sunday school messages. The lack of understanding. What is the lack of understanding? One of the ways of the lack of understanding is a lack of a fear of God. A fear of the Lord. You say, it says here, so doth a little folly. Well, in Scripture, I'm going to look at this, and as a fool is concerned, in Scripture, fool is often used for a wicked or depraved person, one who acts contrary to sound wisdom in his moral deportment, one who follows his own inclinations, who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God and eternal happiness. It also gives this for fools, a weak Christian, a godly person who has much remaining in sin and unbelief. I don't want to be a fool this evening in the eyes of God, because fools often do things that can produce folly and stink in the nostrils of Jesus Christ. You see, take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. Proverbs 14, 29. Look what the Bible says here. Proverbs 14 and verse number 29. Looking at folly. You see, a little folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. You see, if we're Christians, we need to be careful and not to allow folly to creep into our lives. The state of being foolish, basically. Or a lack of understanding. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs 14, look at verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Someone that is hasty in spirit, basically, listen, they can't control themselves. They're hasty. They just jump right into it. The Bible says here, he that is hasty of spirit exalteth, lifted up folly, the state of being a fool or the lack of understanding. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs 21, verse 5. Proverbs 21, look at verse number 5. The Bible says here, talking about being hasty. Proverbs 21 and verse number 5. He that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Look at Proverbs 21, verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, 20, seest thou man? Let's look at it. Look at Proverbs 29 and look at verse number 20. A hasty spirit exalteth folly. I don't want to have a hasty spirit. I want to be able to control my spirit. But look at Proverbs 29 and look at verse number 20. The Bible says here, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Someone who can't control their mouth, the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20, someone that's hasty with their words, they don't control their words, they just vomit those words out. The Bible says, which is scary, that there's more hope of a fool than of that individual who's hasty in their words. Now look at the Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 5, or Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2. Hastiness, folly, being foolish. These things are not pleasant in the nostrils of our God. Look at Ecclesiastes 5, and look at verse number 1. Ecclesiastes 5, verse number 1. The Bible says here, Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. You see what the Bible says there? The Bible's not talking about the bar room. The Bible's not talking about a restaurant. The Bible's not talking about anywhere but the house of God. And the Bible says here, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes verse chapter 5, verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to what? Hear. When you come to church, you ought to be more ready to hear than to speak. And there's other verses on it. I'm not going to go to it tonight. When we come to church, we try to hear from God. It's more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. So you have people, the Bible says, Solomon says, that will come to the house of God and they'll offer the sacrifice of fools. Basically, for lack of better, they're coming in and they're just going through the motions. The sacrifice of fools. Take your Bible, and I think I know where it's at. Look at Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 10. Now, remember what I just read in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. If you got your hand still in Ecclesiastes 5, hold your hand in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 10. I'm going to put these two together here. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and Isaiah chapter 1. Now, we read in Ecclesiastes 5 that when your foot goes into the house of God, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. But look at verse number 2 in Ecclesiastes 5. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Now look back over at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. Isaiah 1, verse 10 says this, Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Now I want you to realize when he says Sodom and Gomorrah here, he's not talking about Sodom and Gomorrah back there in Lot's day. He's referring to his own children, the nation of Israel. And he says this in verse number 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? You see the sacrifices of a fool mentioned back in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 1. And the Lord asked them, To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? Look what God says. I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat fed beast. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? You want to talk about putting fear in you. See, we're missing the fear of God. And God looks at his people and says, in verse number 12, when ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? And God's putting out a warning to his people here and says, you better reconsider when you come into my temple and how you come in here and make sure you're not offering the sacrifices of fools and that your heart's in the right place because you're treading my courts, God says. Our God is not someone to be trifled with. Our God is a consuming fire. You see, just because we're in the New Testament doesn't mean that all of a sudden God's changed from who he was. He just now shows grace. And when you appeared before God in the Old Testament, you definitely checked up on yourself, especially if you were the high priest. And what are we now today? We're the priests of God. We're the priesthood of believers. Remember, brethren, you need to read your Old Testament. You see, we can't, brethren, please hear me tonight. I think it's good to fellowship when we come to church. It's good to fellowship when we come to church. It's good to be there for one another. I believe in all those things. When we come through these doors, and it's nothing with me. It's everything with him. And it's with him with whom we have to do. And if we come into these services and we invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we better check up on ourselves and make sure we're right where we need to be in his sight. Because we're treading his courts. You say, preacher, this is just Ray Street Baptist Church. This is a 610 Ray Street. This is just a building. Oh no, my friend, where two or three are gathered, there is he in the midst. But we look at Jesus like he's Santa Claus. Amen. Amen. He's a king. And you just don't walk up in the presence of King. Hey, what's going on, Jesus? Oh, no, my dear friend. Oh, no, my dear friend. He's a king. And not only is he a king, he's a king of kings, and he's a lord of lords. And he's not to be trifled with. He shows grace, and he shows mercy, and he shows love and compassion. But he's also a king. And we need to treat him like a king. And he's worthy of all praise, glory, honor, and adoration. And we ought never to take him lightly. Especially when we invoke his name. God says here in Isaiah, when ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my course? Look what he says in verse 13. God says, I'm tired of your religion. God tells his nation, whom he calls Sodom and Gomorrah, who he had destroyed 1,000 some years earlier when Lot fled out of there because of the wickedness that was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Their wickedness was a stench that came up in the nostrils of God. And God's now calling his own people Sodom and Gomorrah. And God says, I'm tired of you just playing religion. I'm tired of you just coming into my courts and going through the motions and doing this and doing that. And then you go home and you forget about it and you come back again next week and you just go through the motions because it's just what you're supposed to do. God says, I'm done with it. He's telling his children that. He says, look what he says in verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations. That's offerings. Incense, that's what you offer up in prayer unto God. He says, incense is an abomination unto me. God says, I'm sick of what's going on in my house. I'm tired of the incense. I'm tired of the oblations. I'm tired about the fools offering sacrifice. God says, I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for a woman that wants to love me and serve me with a broken and contrite heart with everything they got. God says, I'm looking for that person, but I can't find them. And you see where religion leads you. It leads you to dead orthodoxy. It leads you to coldness. It leads you to emotionlessness. It leads you to no passion. And the Bible says here, God says, I'm tired of you just acting a religious show. Verse 13, the new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings, your new moons and your appointed feasts. My soul hateth, God says. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make your prayers or make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. God says, get back and do right. Look what he says next in verse number 16. Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. God calls out to his people. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. God says, get back to the things that smell good in my nostrils. You see, the Bible says that fools exhibit folly. You can bring the sacrifice of a fool. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs 17:12? Let a bear robbed of her whelps mean a man rather than a fool in his folly. You got a man that wants nothing to do with God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool trusteth in his heart. The Bible says it's better to run into a bear that's robbed of her cubs or her whelps rather than to meet a man that's a fool. See, dead flies cause the ointment to stink, just as foolishness and folly causes us to stink in the nostrils of God. As I'm closing up this evening, take your Bible, look at Exodus chapter 30, verse number 22. Exodus chapter 30, and look at verse number 22. Exodus 30, verse 22. Look what the Bible says here. Exodus 30, verse number 22. This is referring to the tabernacle that God has given to Moses, the directions and the guidance on how to build it and to make the things for the tabernacle. But the Lord also gives him instruction concerning the holy anointing oil. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and all his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings, with all his vessels, and the laver, and his foot, and thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whosoever toucheth them shall be holy. And then he says in verse 30, and thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. And the Bible says in verse 35, jump down there, and thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. Verse 37, and as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto it to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from his people. God had his people, his priests, those that were in service for him, to have and to be anointed with a holy anointing oil. Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Brother, we're anointed today to do the service of God. We're anointed today to do the service of God. You see, what is anointing? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. What is an anointing? Or what is anointing? You see, those priests were anointed with that holy oil. The anointing means this: the smearing with oil, pouring on oil or other substances, consecrating. So not only is anointing something where you pour oil or smear oil on someone to anoint them, it is also an act of consecrating. The word consecrate means to set apart, to dedicate, to devote, to the service and worship of God. It is also synonymous with sanctify, to separate, to set apart, or appoint to be holy, sacred, for religious use. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verses 21 and 22. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and give us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Take your Bible, look at 1 John chapter 2. We've received, if you've been saved, you've received an anointing by the Holy Spirit of God. 1 John chapter 2, and look at verse number 27. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The Holy Spirit of God, being anointed, being consecrated by the Holy Spirit of God, being set apart by the Holy Spirit of God. We read the verse tonight, but the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. You know, if we want to smell good in the eye or in the nostrils of God, we got to make sure that we don't let little things like dead flies get in and spoil the ointment that God smells. You see, we have the anointing. We've been anointed by God, by the Holy Spirit of God, and we have the anointing within us as the Holy Spirit of God, the ability to be consecrated. But there's things that we can allow into our life like little flies that will spoil and cause that ointment to stink. I'm going to close with these verses. Look at 2 Corinthians again, chapter 2, same chapter, verses 15 and 16 this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verses 15 and 16. The most blessed and honoring smell and taste to our Lord is the smell and taste of a life offered unto Him as a sweet sacrifice. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verses 15 and 16. For we are unto God, look what it says, a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. You see, to the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? You see, to one where we smell as death, they want nothing to do with Christianity. They want nothing to do with what God has to offer. But to others that smell it, they smell it as a sweet smell, as life unto life. You see, the word savor means to taste, or it's an odor. To taste or smell with pleasure. The Bible says in verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Flip over to Philippians chapter 4. We're almost done. Just bear with me a few more seconds. Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse number 18. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 18. Paul finishes up this letter to those at Philippi. And he says here, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. See, the gift that they gave to Paul, that was sent to Paul by Epaphroditus, when Paul received it, it rejoiced Paul. And Paul goes on to tell them that that gift, that sacrifice, that which they sent to him was an odor of a sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I want to close with two verses tonight. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2. You see, brethren, our lives today are giving off a scent to the Lord Jesus Christ and God, to God our Father. We are giving off a scent today and a taste today. And what does the Lord taste and smell with us this evening? Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, we're the salt of the earth, brethren. What do people taste when they taste us? Do they taste salt? Do they taste grace? Do they taste mercy? Do they taste long-suffering, compassion? Do they taste these things, or do they taste bitterness? Do they taste a complaining spirit? Do they taste a murmuring spirit? Do they taste an envious spirit, or a spirit of bitterness, or a spirit of hatred? What do they taste when they taste us? What do they smell when they smell us? Lastly, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 2. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 2. Look what the Bible says here. Ephesians 5 verse 2. Verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And then it goes on to list some things to stay away from that I believe causes a stench in the nostrils of God. You see, if Jesus Christ was offered as an offering of a sweet-smelling sacrifice or savor unto God, we ought to be the same. And I believe Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 says that. And I quoted it earlier. You see, it's not our lives no more that we're living. The life that we now live, we should be living for the Lord Jesus Christ and do those things that are pleasing in His eyesight. And not just pleasing in His eyesight, that's what we often think about. We think about what God sees, but we need to remember that God also smells. Not only does God see us, God also smells us. So what kind of odor are we putting off this evening in the nostrils of our God, our holy God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this evening, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, you're worthy of, Lord Jesus Christ, you are worthy of all glory, honor, praise, adoration. Lord, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us this evening, dear God, that we would never tread your courts lightly. That we would never just come in, like I said this morning, and just wing it. Lord, that we would never come in and just offer the sacrifice of a fool. And just go through the motions because it's just what we're supposed to do. No, God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us this evening, dear God, to examine ourselves, to have an honest look at ourselves, and Lord, that we may see clearly, and not only see clearly, but smell clearly of what we're putting off to others, and not just to others, Lord, putting it off to you. So, Lord, help us to take these things seriously and help us to walk in the light of them. Lord, that we would be a sweet-smelling savor in your nostrils, Lord. Help us to do those things that always please you. And we pray these things now in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you take your hymn book this evening, I'd like to close with a hymn. Take your hymn book this evening. I'd like to close with a hymn. Let's see here. Page number. Okay, yes. Page number 266. Page number 266. I'd like to close with this hymn. Page number 266. And as we sing it, don't just sing it. Look at what the world, look what the words are saying in this hymn as we close out this evening. Can you play it, Fade? Page number 266. Please take these words to heart tonight.
Page 266.
Jesus is mine, bring every tender time, Jesus. Lord, it's a privilege to be here tonight, Lord. And Lord, what we heard tonight, Lord, is, Lord, just let us sink into our hearts, Lord, and let us do the things that is in your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these things, Lord, and Lord, just let us go out of here, Lord, and Lord, just let us let our flame show, Lord, as we go out of here. Let our light show, Lord, as we go out of here, Lord, and that we can tell others about Jesus Christ, Lord, and that they, and Lord, we pray, Lord, that they hear, Lord, and they hear the gospel plainly, Lord, that we may bring them in, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these things now, Lord. Give us safety as we go home tonight, Lord, and we thank you for your blessing, the goodness and your kindness towards us, Lord, and your long-suffering. Lord, we thank you for these things now, Lord. Just have our heart ready, Lord, as we go out into the world, Lord, that we may preach Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Your brother will see you Wednesday.
Jesus gives us so much.